Chris Fairbanks. It feels like maybe 3 months since I saw you last here in Winnipeg.
That's amazing. It depends. I thought it was a year.
Does it feel like a long time?
It was cold and there was snow, and so I assumed it was a year, but I guess your winters last longer. So you're telling me it was May, or I'm hearing it was May.
We have like two seasons here. It's like construction season and the winter season. The winter season seems like 6 months long.
Yeah, last time I was here, they just handed me a hammer and I had to work on the framework of a building. I haven't done a lot of framing, but yeah. I think it was just at the end of construction season. and then luckily it started to snow and I had 6 months off. But I'm union now.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Canadian union.
We need framing. All the help we can get, man. Cause like,
yeah.
I mean, but I feel like in Austin, that's kind of the same thing. Isn't Austin kind of always in construction for the most part? Or
yeah,
does it seem that way?
It is. Well, that's a result. That town, people just keep moving there. Right. And they're like, we have to build more buildings
right.
for these kids chasing their dreams so they can be singer-songwriters. I don't know who's moving there. I used to live in Austin.
You don't live there anymore?
No. I moved there when that town was like 500,000. Now it's, I can't even guess.
Right.
Certainly over a million, 2 million. I'm not sure.
Well, that's like the hipster part of Texas for the most part, right? Or just like the artistic, I would say.
Yeah,
artistic's a better way of saying it.
Totally. Yeah. But yes, hipstery, that's where you'll find ironic mustaches like the one on my face. But I do it for comedy. Come on. It's people pay attention to.
I saw a recent tweet of yours about, what was it, like two Asian women in your parents' household and you don't remember why they were there?
Oh, yeah. That was like a quote from my podcast. There was Japanese girls we were talking about, and then I remembered and I amended, I retweeted. I'm like, they were part of an exchange program, and it was funny because my mom used to sell Mary Kay, and she wasn't that excited about it. She had a room of makeup, and I just remember these sweet girls who had never been to America, and I, you know, they spoke a little English, but they're just in this room surrounded by makeup, like Mary Kay cosmetics.
Did your parents do that exchange student program a lot, or was that just like the one time?
Yeah, and it was funny. It's one of those things that I forgot about, and you know, one day I remembered that. Because I lived in the next room. I was like that next to my bedroom, and there's just these nice girls.
There's always someone new, basically, for the most part.
Yeah,
every year was someone new.
Yeah. It's kind of cool that my mom did that. I forgot about it. But it's when a memory first surfaces, it's like, wait a minute. I remember two Japanese girls in my basement. And then I finally figured it out. So it's not just a weird non sequitur.
Speaking of your parents, your dad, kind of in our little realm, he was a radio host for the most part. Interviewed Pauly Shore. That was one of his biggest memories.
Or Sammy Shore. He would like sell. I think it was a daily. He'd write jokes.
We talked about
current
before,
events. Yeah. And then he'd sell them. And he'd listed a bunch of comics, the Nerd Burfler and Hugh Franhauser, and I'm like, yeah, these are all people I've never heard of. And then one of them was Sammy Shore. So it was just late 60s comedians that would buy his jokes. And when I met Pauly Shore, I'm like, my dad used to sell your dad jokes.
Right.
And he was like, did he do radio? And I'm like, yeah. I guess that, you know, yeah, maybe I should do. Can you write some jokes for me?
I honestly wish I could.
Yeah.
All the jokes that I write on air, they're so centric around like being Filipino, so I don't know.
Right. Along, yeah, you know? I definitely.
And it works here in Winnipeg, there's like a whole bunch of Filipinos, but you know,
it's
I don't
funny.
Know where you're living now if there's a big Filipino population.
I'm a white guy with blue eyes, so I don't touch race at all, and I don't think anyone that looks like me should, and I leave it alone. But you're hired. And, I just recorded a special that we're trying to sell, and I feel like I spent all my material, so I put a lot of pressure on myself to write new jokes, and I'm like, man, it's hard to like assign yourself to like the M. Night Shyamalan comedy. I was good at writing jokes 20 years ago.
Yeah, especially when it's a special like that, you're putting all your effort and all like, it's all the best bits, right?
And all the best
jokes, right?
Like, when you start doing comedy, it's like, okay, what stories or what things have I said my whole life that I can put into this first 10 years of comedy? And then And then you got to start from scratch again.
I was going to ask, like, after that special comes out, is it, like, starting from the beginning? And
yeah, like, well, it hasn't come out yet. We're trying to sell it, but or Tig Notaro edited it for me, and she's helping me sell it. But we haven't sold it yet, so it isn't spent.
Right.
It's sitting on a shelf, so right. I can still use
tweak
it.
Tweak it and everything.
Yeah. But once it's out. So I'm preparing for
right,
that.
Right.
I'm preparing. I'm anticipating its sale and me needing to have start my career over.
Still with your dad. I know you also have some painting skills. Did you get that from him? Because I know he was also a bit of a painter too.
Yeah, right? Yeah. He's a great painter. I'm more of an illustrator. I do a lot of drawing. Mm-hmm. And painting kind of makes me nervous. Haven't been doing it. You know, I do a lot of drawing for
was there a collaboration
skateboards
between you two
and stuff
for something?
Like that. Oh, yeah. There's a photo online that is, we both did painted a skateboard for this fundraiser, skate park fundraiser, that every year they my dad and I both do skateboards for that.
And in terms of your tour poster, did you draw that? Did you draw
I
your
did,
tour poster?
Yeah, I figured out a new, I drew that on an iPad that Reggie Watts gave me. I was like, oh, neat, you can draw on that? He's like, here, have it. That's how nice people who have money are. And exactly. And I've been learning to, because you can draw and then immediately erase. Like, things that I used to try and pull off with whiteout,
right.
I now, yeah, so it's been really cool that my drawings look better on that iPad. It's hard to explain, but it's...
Was the inspiration kind of... I know there's, like, the Shining, obviously. But the aesthetic quality, was that based off of, like, money? Because it kind
yes.
of looks like it has
yeah,
that
yeah.
money quality
That's
to it,
so
right?
funny, because that is what I was about to right. talk about, is it that woodcut, like,
yeah, it's
when
the
you
little
look
dotted
close
line,
to that drawing of on American dollars,
yeah.
that kind of... Especially, but your dollars too. Yeah,
yes.
It has that woodcut look. So I just was like doing a little cross hatching. We're going to get real specific about art technique. Welcome to the joy of drawing. I don't have an afro, but it is soothing when I talk about this. Just some happy little cross hatching, yeah. And then you can do that, and then immediately click the Apple Pen on. This whole story is sponsored by Apple. on the eraser, and then erase. Immediately erase. So if you do some line work and then draw on it with an eraser, it creates that like perforated line that looks like a woodcut. It
so
takes a little longer. But
I was going to say, how long did that whole process take? Because it's doing it and going back to that.
Yes,
same
yes.
thing, right?
It's like drawing twice.
Yeah.
But the end result is so cool looking and so hard to attain with just drawing on paper, which I miss sometimes, but when you draw on an iPad, it just comes out so crisp when you're on a surface like that on an iPad. It's just immediately... when you scan a drawing, it's blurry. The
yeah.
ink
the
bleeds in paper.
As, yeah.
yeah, and then you got to figure out how to color behind it and digitally, so you have to delete the paper color. This is all really specific.
Yeah.
but, yeah, Yeah, it's funny you notice that woodcut thing.
All the University of Winnipeg students listening, they're like, oh, taking notes and everything, because that's
yeah,
like the artistic
yeah, yeah. And send me an email if you want to hear more about this woodcut technique. I'm going to, everything I do from now on, I think, is going to have that look. It's easier than stippling. If anyone's into dot shading with dots, it's easier than that, and it looks better. Just DM me.
Would you ever do a podcast about art? I know you have your other podcast right now.
Yeah. We drive comics around. We pick them up at the airport. Well, theoretically. Yeah. The airport's a nightmare, so now we just go to their house. But we record in the car. And that's been going well, and I like it. But prior to that, Karen and I, both our moms had Alzheimer's. This is real funny early morning topic stuff. at the same time, we were going to have an Alzheimer's podcast.
Oh, really?
So it... And be funny. I mean, she's proven, because she has a murder podcast that's
yes,
a comedy
yeah, yeah,
podcast, so you can talk about dark things,
yeah.
and if you're smart about it, be lighthearted and
yeah.
funny. But, you know, then our moms died, and there went, that would have been the end of the podcast. Mm-hmm. Again, good morning. I'm fun to be around. Yeah. Oh, good. The comedy snort bailed me out.
We'll switch gears a little
no,
bit.
No, but yeah, an art podcast would be cool. And I do have a degree in teaching art, and one of my friends is in charge of the University of Montana art department now, or the media arts, mm-hmm. and he ran it by me to teach a Photoshop like drawing class, right. And I, but there's so much work that goes into creating a syllabus and everything. I was right. like, I just kept doing stand up. I don't want to like. It's weird to have two careers and then you're not. Right. You got to like decide one or the other. You can't really do both. So.
I'm glad you mentioned Montana because I want to go back a little. What's so special about the Roxy in Missoula?
Well, that is the first place I ever saw a movie. Right. Yeah, yeah, it was a double feature of Condor Man and The Jerk with Jerry Lewis, I think. My first movie experience. And then it closed for years. And now it's where I go back and do stand-up. Like, there's a comedy scene in Missoula, Montana now, and it's kind of cool to go to my childhood theater.
Right.
And do stand-up.
In a different setting. Like you're yeah,
because they were closed for years. I think they'd have like a wildlife film festival that's pretty popular there, but otherwise it would be closed or not a theater anymore.
I was looking at research about it. Is it true that they show adult films at this place, or was that something?
Boy,
that
maybe for a while, like in the dark or in the future, like in the Idiocracy future, they will be. But I don't know. I don't know about that. I think so, but I could be wrong.
I might have read something wrong or something like that.
No, there was a theater that I do in Vancouver called the Fox Theater that clearly used to be an adult right. Theater. It had, I mean, not to get specific, but there was, tissue at the end of the like, So the point is, people were allergic and they'd have. So they had tissue, that facial
exactly.
tissue, in case
yes.
you get allergies. Yes. That's I'm assuming that.
Absolutely.
I've just, but it's at the end, so you had to ask someone. Pardon me, could you pass a tissue down because right. the dispenser? So if you had allergies and you were in the middle of the front row, you know all these people had the hand of tissue. I imagine that being kind of uncomfortable. So
right.
and if you go to one of those adult theaters, don't have allergies because I've discovered it's probably difficult. You bring your own tissue, is what I'm saying.
Your improv group in Missoula, did any of them?
Oh wow! Yeah,
did any of them also get into comedy or entertainment?
I think the woman that first. It's funny how I got in that group. I didn't know what improv was. I was at a party with my friends and we were being drunk. And I think I was trying on this girl's clothes and she kicked us out of her place. And then in the paper, this was a while back. In the paper. The next week, there was a personals ad that said, hey, I kicked you out of my party. Do you want to start an improv group?
So what? Is that
she
true,
thought
really?
I was funny, but she kicked us all out. And then so I'm like, what is improv? And she just said, you know, like, whose line is it anyway? And so
right,
we
yeah.
started yeah. doing that. I don't think most of those guys, I keep in touch with some of them, but they're math teachers and truck drivers now.
Right.
But she started, she's in the Congo in South Africa.
Wow.
And she does an improv festival in South Africa, and I've been meaning to go
there.
That's
so
she's
cool.
been there for years, yeah, and she teaches improv.
Holy
so,
moly.
Yeah, I got to go down there. She was like, will you come? And I looked at flights to South Africa. I'm like, is there a budget to get me there?
Yeah.
But I do want to go. I think it would be a cool experience.
Absolutely.
But yeah, Eva Gilliam is the reason I do stand-up that I got into comedy. Before
that's...
that, I was just drawing pictures and partying, and she kind of got me into
that's
comedy.
Amazing.
So yeah, I thank her for that, and she still is
okay.
teaching.
Last question. Where is the best skateboard park in North America? Have you been to some of the ones in Canada?
Yeah, it used to be Oregon was the state that was always...
Really?
Yeah, for a while, it's like they figured out the allocation of money, Parks and Rec or whatever. All these companies and the companies that now are the leading skate park builders, maybe not now, there's some California ones, but they were all Pacific Northwest.
Really?
So me and my friends would drive from Montana and every little town had a skate park. Now in Montana, it's like that. And even like Jeff Ament from Pearl Jam, mm-hmm. who lives in Missoula, he's always lived there. He spends a lot of Pearl Jam money on putting up skate parks in like Native American towns, like reservation towns where... These kids have nothing to do, you know. It's boring, and then and out of it boredom, they get into bad stuff, or,
right.
or you know, it's just idle hands.
Right.
And now they all, I go to these reservation towns, and these kids rip at skateboarding.
Wow.
It's really pretty inspiring. I want to do a documentary about
it. Thoughts that
and the guy. So the Pearl Jam bass player is friends with Tester, one of our senators, and together they've kind of figured out Montana's allocation of those funds. Wow. And so the skate parks are all over Montana. Actually, that's the place to go. So any, there's all these skate parks there. It's really cool because of Pearl Jam. It's real specific.
Let's extend an invitation to you for the summertime. If you ever want to go back, the Forks has a really cool skate park that we have here.
Oh yeah.
We recommend trying that.
Cool. Yeah. Skate parks are they're putting one up. I maybe would be retired from skateboarding because my hip replacement and everything. There's all kinds of signs that I shouldn't do. But they're building a park at the end of my street in Los Angeles, right at the freeway exit. And so I have to. That's where I'm going to retire my skateboarding. And right at the bottom of my street. I wish they'd open it. But yeah.
Chris, I appreciate you swinging by, man.
Thanks. Oh, of course. Thanks. Very specific questions. I'm glad I had answers. You did your research.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Of course.